And it is absolutely beautiful day down at Fenway Park. Let's hope disaster is not waiting for this team one more time.
Well, I'll tell you what's perked me right up is this Buster Olney report. Can we get into that with Bradford here?
Well, listen, there's nothing better than having Rob Bradford here when we got someone's shaking the tree, someone's breaking some news, and I can't wait for Rob Bradford to say, "You're wrong! I am smacking down that report. I have the real report."
Oh, I don't know which. You have to be more specific.
It's literally
first of all, McFarland, there you are.
McFarland Energy, sir.
Brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating, oil delivery, as well as expect HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. I love how you're on top of it. You're keeping me right here with the sponsors.
I have a McFarland tattoo, so I'm always reminded. But it's always good to see you guys. What an honor. A little Robbie Bradford, 8 years old, you'd be sitting in the same seat the Red Sox manager.
I know.
Just sat in just moments
seat's
ago.
Still warm, isn't it?
You just told him.
It's still warm.
You taunted him. You said, "You're my warm-up."
Oh, I told him he was Shecky Green.
I thought that Chad was interesting. I don't know how much of it you got to hear, but I mean, the main thing that everyone's talking about right now, and we'll get to your report here in just a second because it is exciting. But the main thing I think that everyone's talking about today is the comment from Izzy yesterday about how, you know, I feel like on the road we're a very close-knit team, but we come home and there's just a lot of people. He said it's different. It's just a different vibe at home, and we got to figure out a way to make it small how it is on the road. He said, just feel like at home we see a lot of people that we don't know or you know that are around this area. And he said, and we got to find a way to bring that back home, the close-knit group that they have. So what did you make of that quote when you heard that yesterday? Because I there were like three or four different ways you could go on
that. Well, that's exactly what I thought. And it was sort of bizarre because the reality is you don't hit at home. You have, as you said, you know, significantly more less home runs than anybody. Mm-hmm. You just can't hit at home. I would say that the primary reason why you are not good at home is you do not have a team that is tailored to Fenway Park, and you don't hit at Fenway Park. But this is much spicier. Good for him. Mm-hmm. And you asked me what I thought of it. I'm the same thing. I was just in the Red Sox clubhouse, and I'm like, we're talking among the writers. Like, what do you think he meant?
Yeah.
And everybody came up with four different things.
Let me hear the four. Come on.
I mean, you have like the obviously the media thing, which isn't, I don't really buy.
I don't either.
No, because everyone people just standing around. I mean, like, it's not like it used to be. It just isn't. And so
he would use the word media too. I think he would have been more specific if it was media.
Yeah, I think so. And then you go to, well, you have too many friends and family, you have guys going out, whatever it is, or you have your guy Lorenzo coming around. Yep. You're like, there's so many different ways to go.
Or Greg's report this morning was that it's the driveline guys,
right? What do you mean by the driveline?
The driveline front office people, these people in the.
This has always been a thing. You're talking to Rich Hill. He said this. He's like, when you go through a bullpen, there's 10 coaches out there. And that's the same
at home.
At home, well, yeah, because they're not going to travel that many people.
Okay, yeah.
No. But I think it's true. I mean, there's significantly more people whose job it is to do specific things, and they're here, and they're not. To your point, Ted, they're not on the road. So that could very well be. And I don't think that might be wrong.
Yeah, but the only thing though about that, Rob, is that these guys are professional baseball players. They're used to having tons of people around.
Nobody, this is the problem with it. Is it? And I like Izzy. Like, Izzy's great. Like, we did the 2-minute grill with him yesterday, and I really enjoy talking with him. But in all the years that I've been here, no one's had that excuse about playing at Fenway Park.
Yeah, it's weird.
And so,
because that to me makes me think that this is something different. And to be honest, the more I hear you talk, the more I think maybe it is too many people are whispering in their ears how to hit. Like it's just too many different voices. You talked about the driveline thing that Greg was talking about, and then you've got these other batting coaches that are coming in, like, you know, Caleb Durbin's guy Lorenzo, and you've got all these different people saying different things and getting in their head. Maybe that's what.
Well, that Rich, to that point, we have to figure out what is the thing, because I think Izzy's a smart guy. And it's like, what is the thing that is going to have a direct correlation on you not performing? And what you just said, that would be probably at the top of the list.
Yes.
Not too much media, not going out, because everyone goes. Everyone has friends. We, like I said, all the years I've been here, this dynamic has always been the same. And it's the same for the best team in the league at home.
Yep.
Same deal.
You think the distractions are the same on the road as they are at home?
No.
I bring as many batting coaches on the road.
Yeah,
like they're here.
Yeah, you know? No.
I'm talking about the going out part, like going out and being with friends.
Well, what he said too, which was we're really tight on the road. We're getting tighter and tighter and tighter on the road. And you know how it is, Ted. Like you go out, like you're together. You have nowhere else to go.
They didn't let Ted out. He told us before. Different from football curfew.
Christian Campbell was disappointed when they found out he didn't have roommates on the road. It's one of these things where I understand that part of it. Where you're all in it together. When you go on the road, there's no doubt about it. It's like the way for the media as well. When you're on the road for the media, it's so much easier. So much easier. And so that is an element of it. But to come back to the point of what is the thing that might have a direct correlation to not scoring runs at home?
Yeah.
And that is the voices from a million different people. That probably be at the top of the list.
What did you make of that Breslow article, the one that the Globe wrote?
Well, I think Theo was the biggest takeaway.
No question.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and so I would love to hear from Theo. You know, I would.
Yeah, why is he not? Because he's on these podcasts and stuff, but he is.
Well, he's on a podcast.
He's on one. I think we heard from him. That was his message.
Yeah.
But it was weird. A few weeks before that, he did a podcast where he basically was in line with everything Breslow said.
Yeah, well, that was the same one, I think. They just keep, like, cutting up clips from it, but you're right. You're right that they had that clip that a lot of people – I surfaced it, too, where he has one time where he's saying, like, hey, listen, we're getting too down the road of analytics. But he also said he was very supportive of Breslow. But the thing is that it's like a lot of things with this team. Where you can't tangibly say that is it. When they fire Alex Cora and all those coaches, you can't say, well, they would have been better or worse. We don't know that. We just don't know. And with Theo, we just don't know. All we can go by is, I know he's in the room at the winter meetings. I know that he's in the room at the trade deadline. I know that he's around once in a while.
Yeah.
But we don't know how much Breslow's listening to him or isn't listening to him.
Yeah. All right. So, Rob, can you hang out for 2 minutes? 2 minutes. All right.
Oh, I love the 2 minutes.
We're not going anywhere. We're
in a juicy Busteroni report. Oh.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Because if this is true, maybe, just maybe, all of our dreams and wishes are coming true, especially Chad's. I know Chad's, obviously, we wouldn't tell us, but he's begging for this. And we'll get to that right after this. 2 minutes. What is this? Oh, is this Corrosion of Conformity?
Right on, Rich.
Hell yeah, Jackson. Putting a little metal in there. Love it. You proud of me? I nailed it right away,
didn't I? Very proud of you. And Chad Tracy said overtime like twice, so I just thought of the song immediately.
Oh, with that, Jackson's brain is always working.
By the way, Dale Ordway.
Save that.
Dale Ordway was out on the streets last night.
Oh, he was?
So in the 4 o'clock hour, you'll hear
streets?
Some of that.
The mean streets?
Right here. This street right here next to us.
Wow.
Getting the pulse of the people after the way the Red Sox have been performing. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Rob Bradford here. Baseball isn't boring. WEEI.com. The man breaking all sorts of crazy news all over the place. Roman Anthony, he started chaos all over town.
Really did.
I don't put words in their mouth, Rich.
No, but hey, listen, did you get credit? Did people give you credit?
No, I don't. It's fine. Almost everybody gave me credit, but it's fine. I appreciate you guys talking about it. I thought it was worth being talked about.
Hell yeah.
And I also just sort of like the way that was rolled out was, it was one of many, many interesting things. You know, you have the Anthony thing, you have the Durbin thing, you have the Theo thing, you have, you know, the Izzy thing, you have like all this stuff. And by the way, they're still trying to crawl out of the basement here.
Yeah, I know. It is obviously strange how everything has turned out. I still don't get how you can only have won 9 games at home and it's June freaking 3rd. This is very strange. But we may have a turnaround, right, Ken? There is a report
I told you, don't give up on Brez. His job's on the line here. Here's Busteroni. And he says, our man Gordo resurfaced it. This is from the Just Baseball show. Quote, what I've heard today is, they are aggressively looking for a right-handed hitter. It might be a case where the Red Sox are willing to take on a bad contract.
Okay.
End quote. Now, that's Buster who hates, he always is bashing the Red Sox. You would admit that. He's always bashing this organization.
I mean, Buster's great.
So, for him to say this, I think is legit intel. Would you just...
Oh, no, I believe it's legit intel, but I'm sick of kind of like, we're trying really hard. Like, that's my problem with those sort of reports.
The
biggest takeaway is that it's, all right, you're going to take on a bad contract. Okay. Like, this is the problem. I'm sick of the trying hard, and I go back to last trade deadline. Like, and everybody in that room, you had 30 people in that room say, I'm telling you, they tried so hard. They tried so hard. It's a results business, man.
Yep.
Like you said that your main goal, your singular goal was to get a starting pitcher who could pitch in the playoffs. And you got Dustin May. And that was, as I said before, that was like going to the store and seeing the guy for a thing for $130 and selling for the thing for $60 and say it's going to be just as good. Like, oh, no, you're convincing yourself. No. Like, you knew that what this was going to cost you, and to come back to that report, you know it's going to cost you. You know that you're going to have to overpay. You know that you're going to have to take on money.
Okay, and I got some names. You know some bad contracts? Let me list three for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Are they on the Red Sox?
Nope. No. Well, Devers was, but they got rid of him.
Okay.
Houston Astros, Carlos Correa.
Houston Astros are ahead of you in the standings.
Okay. San Diego Padres, Manny Machado. Bring the villain here.
San Diego is ahead of the Red Sox in the standings.
Okay. New York Mets, Marcus Semien.
He's not very good.
Oh, okay, but you know, you're talking about bringing on a bad contract. I'm just trying to think.
Well, so just so people know, when you say ahead of the Red Sox, meaning they're still in the wild card race, and why would they trade
more,
away?
Yeah, they're
right,
more,
almost everyone's ahead. Yeah.
But they still may be willing to trade for something in return. Right. You know, give something to get something.
Sure.
And get rid of a bad contract.
You have no faith. I'm just looking at Rob's face.
They wouldn't do it before the season starts. What makes you think they're going to do it in the middle of the season?
Your instincts are keen, Rich.
I mean, Bobichette? Like, maybe Bobichette?
Okay.
Mets are as bad as you. Same record.
I mean, Bobichette is having a terrible year, Ken.
Okay, well, you got to take a chance here, Rob. They need a chance.
No,
they need a right-handed hitter.
I agree. I agree that they have to do something. But you have to show that you're going to be willing to get uncomfortable. You have to hit the sweet spot of this. We said this before. When you got Kyle Schwarber, you got a guy with a bad hamstring for nothing because he wasn't going to play for a month.
Right, right.
You know, when you get some of these other guys, you know, you in the offseason, good trade for Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, but you gave up guys who just weren't going to factor in at all. Now what you're talking about is trading top prospects, taking on big money, basically doing what the Giants did last year, which is taking advantage of a situation to get Rafael Devers. And if they can do that, great. But my point is, and if when they do it, we'll celebrate because this is exactly what they need to do. But my point is that I'm sick of the trying hard thing.
I know.
I'm sick of it.
And it's funny because when you have all of this talk about like, hey, we might be going after this guy, we're trying hard to get this guy, and then an article like the one in the Globe comes out that seems to be so damning against Craig Breslow. First of all, it seemed like there were a decent amount of people who couldn't wait to pile on.
Yeah.
And it's been very odd. As a matter of fact, that's the kind of article that usually happens after they're gone.
Yeah.
Like the smear campaign article. When you kind of see that and you hear all this talk, like what kind of, do you believe that he is on a pretty short leash right now? Like I got to think that he's someone who is on the hot
seat. I think his short leash is winning this year. Like I don't know if you're going to say, see you later, Craig Breslow, before the trade deadline. I think to this point, if to lend credence to what you're talking about, Ken.
Thank you.
It is because Craig Breslow has to understand what's at stake here. He has to understand whether it's, you know, his job, what he has to understand in the offseason, how he said, we're World Series or bust, and you've landed here.
Yeah.
You have to understand all of that. So, yeah, you have to do this. But it's not in their fabric. It's not in his fabric to do that. Like, that's the weird thing about this.
But Theo's calling him out. You know, they are under pressure right now.
Well, is Theo calling?
Yes, he said he's disappointed. I mean, to Rich's point.
Yeah. Real quick, Noah is our new intern. Noah, can you come in here for one second? Okay, so Noah is a brand new intern. And there's nothing I like more than when someone gets to show you what they've got, what they're made of.
Oh.
Noah, what is your favorite restaurant in the entire world? Talk in that mic right there. This is Noah, our brand new intern. What's your favorite restaurant?
Get right up on there, Noah. Here we go.
I like this restaurant called El Gaucho in Seattle.
Ooh, okay. How about one that's local?
He's been here like a week. I mean, the guy's literally from the West Coast.
Are you like big into steaks, or do you like Chipotle?
Steaks.
Okay. There's you know what? Let's go Grill 23. We think of Grill 23. If you can get Theo Epstein on the phone with us by the end of the show, I will buy you, I'll get you a gift certificate for you and a friend to go eat your heart out at Grill 23.
Whoa.
All right.
Well, by the way, that should be like 3 months' salary. That shouldn't be a steak.
All right. So
good deal.
At Grill 23, if you can get him on before 5:30.
Here, I'm going to give you a head start. I'm going to give you his number.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, even better.
I get on
I was literally about to say, just talk to the guy across from you. I'll get the number. Yeah. But if you can get him on our show by 5:30, I'm getting you a gift certificate for you and a friend at the best, one of the best steakhouses in the city.
I'll be on it.
All right, good. All right, Noah's. I got faith in Noah.
Or at least someone who sounds like him, Noah.
Jackson does a hell of an impression.
Sure. We have.
Hi, I'm Theo Epstein.
That's right. You guys can split the gift certificate. All right. Well, Rob, it's a weird place that this team is in.
A lot to talk about.
It is a lot to talk about. And you know what? To be quite honest, I'm not one of these people who likes dwelling on the negative. I'd rather be talking about this team, you know, doing something. And
I know that was pants off win against Atlanta.
I was like, feeling good, man. I was feeling good. I was in my element. I was tweaking.
So people know that was 5 games ago. 5 games
ago. What can I say? It was, as I said, as I keep saying, water in the desert. All right. Well, Rob, great stuff. Baseball isn't boring. You can also hear him on the, is it 2 Minute Grill? Can I get the name correct?
Yeah, yeah. I gotta get one right
now. Who are you grilling
today? I don't know. I figured it out. I did Izzy yesterday. It probably would have been better to do him today.
Can you do it twice? Let's go, baby.
I probably aren't going to get Roman Anthony or Izzy. They've already like allocated their contractual obligations. But maybe Ken's favorite, Anthony Siegler. Throws with both hands, former first round pick.
He's got Native American blood. He's a very unique guy. Very interesting. Seriously.
Sure. I think that throws with both hands and drafts in the first round were much more interesting.
He might be the first Native American baseball player ever. I mean, or in a long time. I don't know. Currently? I mean, look that up.
Didn't the Braves have Chief Nakahoma, the mascot that was probably the most inappropriate mascot of all time?
Yeah, I'm not sure that relates.
Fine. Real quick, Rafa, before you go, what do they do with Brian Bale?
They just keep – here's what they do. They start Greg Weissert, who has like an under one ERA with nobody on.
Yep.
You open with him, and then you go – and as Chad Tracy said, the reason they're doing that is he can't get lefties out, so teams stack the lefties at the beginning of the order. So that's what they do. It's not ideal, but
– will they do that?
It's not – yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's a lot of ideal things going on right now with this team.
All right. Well, Rob Bradford, thank you so much for coming in.
All right, thanks,
as
guys.
Noah is going – he's shaking the tree. He's calling his sources, trying to get, of course, Mr. Theo Epstein on the show with us. And I got a feeling it's going to happen. All right. Speaking of ne'er-do-wells and rabble-rousers, our own Ken – has pissed off the entire city of Philadelphia, apparently. Some of his comments he made about A.J. Brown yesterday on our show have caught fire amongst all of those Eagles fans. We will let you know what that was. Also, some more A.J. Brown news right after this.
New England Patriots plus A.J. Brown equals.
Look, I think they get back to the AFC title game. I really do, because I think A.J. Brown's going to have the best season of his career. I think he'll be a 1,500-yard receiver this year.
Hell yeah, Lewis Riddick.
There we go.
1,500 yards?
Not everybody hates the Pats.
They hate us because our anus. It is Rich, Ted, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
It is amazing to the opinions vary on how the Patriots will do. Some think they'll be in the middle of the AFC. Some think they're the best team in the AFC. So it's a wide range of thoughts on what the Patriots are this year.
It is fair to say the AFC is wide open, right? That would be an accurate statement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You kidding me?
I mean, see one of five or six teams winning it.
I mean, you have to think Buffalo has to be up there. You have to think Kansas City's got to be up there, right? Just boom, boom.
Bengals.
Bengals. I would say the Chargers, even Bengals. Though I don't believe in them. Broncos.
And you even throw in the I don't believe in the Ravens, but there's a lot of people putting the Ravens up there.
They're like a favorite. Many favorites.
He's bought in. I mean, you got Lamar Jackson, who's never been more excited to play football than he is this year. So
you'd probably even throw the Steelers in on a small
percentage. Aaron Rodgers is going to
based on their defense and
I mean
no.
The Texans, look, you know, that quarterback is better than what he played in.
Texans.
Yeah. The Chargers are going to be good again this year. I like
it's half the AFC at least.
They got Mike McDaniels as their offensive coordinator. I think that's going to be a huge, huge feather in the cap for their quarterback. So I think the AFC is going to be it is wide open, but it's going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy conference.
I agree.
Like it was last year.
Yeah, it could go anywhere. It is weird though. This whole AJ Brown situation. You know, when he first got signed, you know, it was essentially. I don't want to say universal, but it was definitely leaning towards most people were like, this is the great thing for the Patriots. Fantastic. Love it. As a matter of fact, you know, it was one of those deals where if you were to poo-poo it, you kind of sounded ridiculous. It's weird, man, because now things are starting to turn. I don't know if it's just because, you know, people are starting to feel that they have to have a hot take because it sounds like everybody else. And
there's a little bit of that.
You're right. I think that there's a definite, it's almost like, you know, when one person gets left off a ballot for, you know, the Hall of Fame and they want to be the person who gets asked about, oh, why did you not bring this person? Why did you not put this person on the ballot? You want to be the one guy who gets attention. To me, it just seems like we're kind of leaning towards the day after, you know, almost like a fake buyer's remorse. Because I've seen more articles today about, you know what, they did overpay. I mean, they were the only people in on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's true, they were the only people in, but that's a decent price for a very good player. To me, that's about what you should have paid for him.
There's not, you can't use the word fleeced. They didn't get, did they overpay? Yeah, they did. And you know what? I don't care, because they never overpay. They always underpay. And you get frustrating talking about these types of deals because they never come to fruition. Now with Vrabes there, there's a new sheriff in town, so they might be doing business a little bit differently. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Anybody who's complaining, would they have wanted the first round pick in 2028 back for this season? Like, examine your life. What are you saying? You'd rather be, yeah, we got a first round pick in 2028. It's screw AJ Brown.
Ken, it's insincerity. You know what it is? It's sports talk radio. It's hot take television, and those are the same people that if this would have fallen through. And on June 1st, you wouldn't have had A.J. Brown as a member of the Patriots.
Right.
They would have been ripping the team for not doing
it. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, right. You didn't do everything you could do. It's just, this is not even a – it's going to be in the 20s anyway. Why didn't you go for it?
Do you know why the Patriots could not, bring in a bad deal or overreach? Because they had Tom Brady at his peak when he was, you know, better than anybody on the planet on football. So you didn't need to make – deals like this.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you had – and Drake May he's going to be a hell of a quarterback, but he's still young. He's still got a lot. So you need to surround him with better weapons. So it's not – to compare this deal to deals in the past, I think is honestly – it's kind of stupid because it's apples and oranges to where the quarterback you have versus the quarterback you used to have. You could, wait for the best deal – because you had Tom Brady as your quarterback.
By the way, Ian Rappaport kind of gave us a little bit more of an idea of what this compromise was between the Patriots and Eagles. And he did say it was a compromise. Let's see what Rappaport had to say.
And everyone assumed that, okay, well, A.J. Brown is getting traded to the Patriots no matter what. Except there was a compensation issue. Notably that the Philadelphia Eagles wanted a one for A.J. Brown, and the Patriots did not believe that was worth. That was his worth. They believed he was worth a 2027 second-round pick. So the way that the two teams compromised was this. Instead of a 2027 first rounder, it was a 2028 first rounder. And most teams believe the value of a first rounder, not this year, but the following year, loses a round. In other words, a two this year is the same as a one next year.
Do you believe that?
You know,
I you know what? It's weird. I'll be honest with the new NIL stuff. I never would ever say that before. But it's hard for me to think, man, that's a big difference, you know, a one whole round of less value. But maybe with the NIL, guys are staying in at longer than they ever did before. There was more you could kind of predict who was coming out before NIL, when they were going to come out. You could predict, and so you could kind of anticipate what each draft class was going to look like. Now it's hard to figure that out, so I think there might be some truth. I would almost say it's probably a half a round weaker. To say it's a whole round weaker is a little bit, to me, as a stretch. But look, there's just – the fact that you felt like you had this deal done and negotiated, there's a price to pay for that, knowing that you had him. So it affected how you drafted and how you did free agency. But also the fact that you could get him in here right now, as opposed to, you could drag it out for another month or two, but then you lose the benefit of having him in here working with Drake May, and there's value in that. So
he's here for minicamp next week, which was interesting. They moved that up. I'm not sure if it was like World Cup related or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's why, yeah.
Okay.
But still, they're hitting the ground hot. Like, he's staying in town, and here we go next
week. If it's an overpay, it's not by much. And for the other reasons I just mentioned, it's worth it to overpay a little bit for reasons I just said.
And the Elliot Wolf interview, I don't know Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports, but she's the only one to talk to Elliot Wolf. She got an exclusive. And he did acknowledge the only one risky part of this deal, Rich, is the knee, which we talked about that. And Elliot Wolf said, quote, it's a factor, but we examined him. He's got a knee that has some wear and tear that we were aware of. Our training staff and medical staff signed off on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the legitimate only risky part of this. But, you know, you're going to have that with pretty much any guy you pick up.
And I'd be curious if there's new techniques, there's new things they can do, operations, ways to kind of manage a knee that are way more advanced now than when I played and even when, 5 years ago. So, the knee, dude, he's still producing at a high level with a bad knee.
Yeah. So, and that's what Wolf says. He goes on to say he's incredibly powerful. That's the first thing that stands out. He can get open one-on-one and versus zone. He's got a great feel, great hands. He's able to adjust. He's super strong. Probably not quite as fast as he once was, but he can still run.
Well, and you know what, too? I said this yesterday regarding the first, you know, the first rounder that they gave up. I said, right now, the Patriots need a feel-good story. They need people talking about them, something other than the Diana Rossini story. Something that will take, distract you from what has been going on over the last 3 months, because we all agree, that's been the biggest story of the offseason in the NFL.
But
correct?
Do we all agree that that's not a reason why you make a trade like this?
Well,
it's a side benefit.
It's a side benefit. But I also believe that that's why they probably didn't hesitate. There wasn't any kind of negotiations at the end. If they felt that, oh, they were the last people, they're the only people that were bidding on it, there wasn't this whole, you know, trying to rinky-dink them and go, you know what, maybe we'll do a second rounder instead. I think that they had this agreement and they weren't going to mess around because they knew they wanted a positive story out here immediately.
But you don't think this represents any kind of indication to how much power Mike has? I mean, Belichick won the Super Bowl in 2001 and he had immense power right away.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a flex. This is a Mike Vrabel guy. He's basically...
It's a good point. I mean,
although Elliot Wolf says in this thing, he's been calling about A.J. Brown since 2024.
If that's true, which
is probably not true, but maybe...
If that's true, then I take back what I just said.
No, but I think it's obviously a Vrabel pickup, right? I mean, they had such a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, A.J. Brown is a Pats fan, so I guess maybe he would have wanted to come here no matter who the coach was.
What is this everyone saying that A.J. Brown was using AI... Like when it was announced here, like he was holding up a jersey that wasn't real.
I think those jerseys of him in the 12 jersey as a little boy are not real on his Instagram page.
And does it look obvious? Because I saw a bunch of people going, "Oh, that guy's lying. He's a liar. You guys signed a liar."
I looked at it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of talk about him being a problem. He's a diva. He had issues with this team. And this was on a team that was very successful with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that doesn't bother me because – I don't think he's going to have the same problems with this coach, this coordinator, and this quarterback.
Dude, you literally are speaking my language. I said the same thing. I'm like, Mike Vrabel is not Nick Sirianni.
Guy.
Right. Mike, you said it. You said he is a alpha's alpha, Mike Vrabel. And if you have a player come in here who thinks they're going to be able to use these passive-aggressive tweets and things that they put out there about their other players, you can do that under Nick Sirianni because he does not seem like the kind of guy that will rule with an iron fist. Whereas Mike Vrabel... Doesn't it seem like a completely different dynamic?
It's apples and oranges. To suggest that he's going to be the same guy in here that he was in Philly, then you're not looking at it close enough.
But also, isn't the quarterback relationship more important? Like, I feel like he got traded because he and Jalen Hurts came to some disagreement in their personal lives or whatever. More so than Sirianni, A.J. Brown and Hurts didn't get along. So he and Drake have to get along. I don't worry about Vrabel and A.J. Brown.
I don't see there being any problem with Drake and him. I don't.
No.
This is the best quarterback he's ever played with.
But
controversy.
Those are fighting words.
Are you going to get the entire city of Philadelphia on your back like Ken did?
Let me ask you.
Come at me, Philly.
Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill or Jalen Hurts ever been runner-up for MVP?
Hurts actually might have been
really?
One of those regular seasons. I have to go back and check.
Who's won a Super Bowl and who was embarrassed in the big
one.
Game, Dad, Teddy J?
That's the big one.
Drake's going into his third year. When did Jalen Hurts win it? Was how many years?
3 years ago.
I know. How long had he been in the league before he won it?
That's the fourth year, maybe?
I'm going to pull up his stats. So
all I know is he also had the greatest team of all time around him. Like the talent he had around him was ridiculous.
Oh, it was his fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yeah.
It was his fourth year.
I think it was his
Drake's
fourth
going into his third year. So, yeah, Drake hasn't won it, but, you know, he also got there, too. And it was mostly because of him.
All I know, Teddy J, is that there are some very angry people from Philadelphia. Apparently, one of our clips from the show went viral of Ken, who obviously just has a hot take flamethrower everywhere
he
goes.
Every day he comes in.
Everybody second guesses me, even on the show. Bradfro a minute ago, like, scoffs. Next week he'll be praising.
You know what? You know? It's true. He's actually, you're kind of right on that, Ken.
You've been right
with this, a lot of this stuff.
Well, let's get what he had to say and what pissed off Philadelphia so much. We will play that right after this.
And this is the best quarterback he's had, right? So he's going to want to get off to a good foot with Drake and not piss him off.
Great point.
You know,
great point. This is the best quarterback that he has played with.
Hot take, Laird. Wow. I don't know how you can argue against that point.
Well, somebody did. Actually, an entire city did. It is Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, here on 93.7 WEEI, and we are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Beautiful day. Legit. I mean, this is an absolutely perfect day for a baseball game. Hopefully, they're able to win at home.
Poli no-hitter tonight? Yes or no?
Sure. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee prices for all there.
Put that stiz in case it happens.
You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, and that dirty water. And you can give us a call and yell at Ken and be angry. 617-779-7937. Because I guess after that clip was posted, somebody at some blog somewhere in Philadelphia let that thing ride, and they did not like what you had to say about Drake May being the best quarterback that A.J. Brown has ever played with.
Right. So you just get a flood of these are various social media responses. Best quarterback he played with, man, stop it. Drake May was trash when the pressure was up. Super Bowl runner or Super Bowl MVP compared to what? Boys said Drake May much better than Jalen Hurts. Never won a bowl. The best quarterback he's played with, do these guys not know Drake May had the worst playoff stats of any starting quarterback ever with the emoji? Then somebody posted the four seasons of Hurts numbers.
Is it, by the way, is that true? Because, I mean, I know obviously he was jacked up, but, I mean, is that true? Like, if you look at his playoff run last year, are those the worst stats? Because he wasn't great.
It can't be worse than Roethlisberger in 05. There were some bad runs.
Because, obviously, let's think of the Chargers. Chargers game, there was nothing going on there. Drake was not any great shakes during the Chargers game.
Oh, you mean the whole
I'm trying to... Because is that the point they're trying to make? Is that during the playoffs?
Yes.
It's got to be bad. It's got to be near the bottom.
Three of the four games were played in, like, terrible condition.
Right. He also ran for like the game-winning first down against the Broncos. Nobody give him credit for that. Not trying to defend his stats.
No. I'm just wondering if what they're saying right there is true because it feels true.
Was it the worst play of statistical playoff run of any quarterback?
Oh, what was the name of the Bears quarterback back in like? Oh gosh,
man,
what's that? No. It was like in the 2000s. The one when the Bears went to the Super Bowl and lost. It was with Urlacher.
Rex Grossman. Yeah.
Rex Grossman's got to be up there, I would think.
Oh yeah, that's got to be worse than that.
Look, they had the Patriots offensive line. They gave up 21 sacks in the playoffs. All right, I think that might be a record. The Eagles have had the best offensive line in the NFL for years now. In the year that Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl, he had Saquon Barkley, the best running back in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
His two main wide receivers were A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, probably one of the best two tandems of receivers, maybe other than the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
They had Dallas Goedert, who's a hell of a tight end. Mm-hmm. So they had probably the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
But he had the best supporting cast. And then you look at defense, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Josh Sweat, Darius Slay. That's your defense. They had a top, probably the top offense and probably a top five defense in the NFL when Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl. So the roster was insanely better. The Patriots last year were bottom third in roster.
Yeah.
And still got to the Super Bowl. Lost it, but a bottom third roster with the receivers that Drake had, to me, is way more impressive.
And statistically, the regular season, Drake had a quarterback rating of 113.5. Jalen Hurts' best regular season year was 103.
Regular season doesn't count.
Well, that's the only argument is the playoffs and your opponents, I guess, if you want to say it's a soft schedule. And obviously he didn't win. Hurts does have one Super Bowl win. So that's all you're going to go by, fine. But now, A.J. Brown's not there. You went to two Super Bowls with him. You drove him out of town. Let's see how he is now. Is Devontae Smith a number one receiver? We're going to find out. Is Jalen Hurts as good without A.J. Brown? We're going to find out. Yeah. I might tend to think no.
So what else do they pick? What are they saying? Are they being nice or are they being rude?
Not even close to the best quarterback he has ever had. Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl. Drake got blown out and laughed at while Jalen Hurts beat the supposed Tom Brady successor. That's not true. Both Super Bowls he played in. Oh, I see saying he beat Mahomes, this guy. Yeah, he went up head-to-head with Mahomes. That's impressive.
Is it fair to say that at this point, maybe Drake is not the best quarterback that he's played with, but Drake will be the best quarterback that he's ever played with?
No, I'm secure in saying he's the best. He's the best.
So you think last year's performance by Drake May is better than anything that Jalen Hurts has ever did?
Yes.
Including the way Jalen Hurts played in the playoffs? Because that's a big including.
The playoffs are different. The conditions weren't like they were in the games that Drake played, and he had a much better roster. So, yeah, he can say he played better, but there were other external factors that led him to play better than Drake. It wasn't just because he's a better quarterback than Drake in the playoffs. It's because he had a better supporting cast, and the conditions weren't even close to what my guess is than what Drake played in.
And we were talking yesterday about how just A.J. Brown's style fits Drake May like a glove. And there was a great stat that was going around, was that, you know, A.J. Brown scored 18 touchdowns and receptions of 20-plus air yards during his four seasons with the Eagles, which was the most in the NFL at that time. And Drake May led the NFL in air yards per attempt and yards per attempt last year. Yeah. So it's just he's the
strength
perfect quarterback for this type of receiver. What do you show me? What do you show me?
So this guy just put a gif of Vrabel and a sad Drake on the sideline, and Vrabel like consoling him.
Yeah, I thought that was a little overblown. Remember when he said, I was thinking that. Remember Josh McDaniels at the Denver game? And he said, boy, this is hard.
Yeah.
Like, crushed him for that.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. I didn't think that was like.
That's not fair. Don't go into the mental health aspect. Come on, that's a low blow.
Dude, would anybody in our profession in Philly right now be saying that Jalen Hurts with a straight face is better than Drake May?
Well, that's the fact. I asked Spike Eskin that, who is now the afternoon host there, and he said, we all agree with you. Nobody on the show thinks that that Drake May is Hurts is better than May.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is that today, almost as if it's breaking news, people are reporting that Kayshon Boutte is interested in a trade. I thought that had been around for a little while. Isn't that something it was? Because he wasn't showing up, right?
Like
right.
It wasn't reported. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first report of it, official report, that he's open to a trade or wants to be traded.
Well, I mean, I think he knew what we all knew, and that was that A.J. Brown was indeed on June 1st going to be a Patriot. And so if you're Kayshon Boutte, you're probably saying to yourself, well, my place isn't here then. Obviously, there's no room for me.
What if they didn't tell him it was official? What if they were like, hey, Kayshon, sit out. We're going to wait until it's officially official, and then let's talk.
Ooh, I can't imagine saying sit out. I don't think they'd ever tell him to sit out. Like, not show up for OTAs and stuff? Wow.
That doesn't seem right.
Then you better trade him. Because if you have told him that, and then you don't trade him, well, then he's missed a lot of time. You know, if you want to do a right by a guy, that's why what happened to Lawyer Malloy back in 2003 was such a big deal, was that Bill waited to the very last time, day to cut a guy when everybody spent their money, when all the rosters were pretty much set a week before the season start.
Do you think he did that for injury reasons? Like, I'm going to trade him, but I want to make sure we don't have somebody, blow out a knee before. So he waited. Because I'm sure Patriots would love.
Lawyer?
Yeah, because I'm sure Patriots would love to keep.
God, are you kidding me? No, we don't want to get into it. But he did that to Lawyer to be a dick. because Lawyer wouldn't take the contract that he. And so you're like, you know what? Right. Nobody tells me no. And so I'm gonna cut you.
Yeah.
He didn't even trade him. Cut him at the very last second.
Right.
And so that,
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sure the Patriots, I'm sure Vrabel would love in a perfect world to keep Boutte around as an insurance policy through all of training camp.
I don't know that, because I think you can only have so many receivers, right?
Well, what if A.J. gets hurt, though? Then you're like, oh, well, at least we got Boutte.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, you could say that for every position. What if so-and-so gets hurt? I mean, you can't have insurance for everybody. That's interesting. I just think the profile of this roster right now, especially the wide receivers, is there's a redundancy there with Kayshon Boutte.
Yeah.
I think you would try and get something for him if you could.
I have to ask you, Ted, because there were a bunch of people got angry at this yesterday, but we were talking about how I believe that it's a certainty that the Patriots are going to sign Christian Gonzalez. They're going to set the market. They're going to do it. There's no way you can blow this opportunity that you have right now.
Well, look at that face. Ted does not agree.
I believe it is a certainty, and I think here's how it's going to happen, is that his agent is going to come in and say, I don't want you to just pay him as the highest paid corner. I want you to pay him as the highest paid defensive player. And the Patriots are going to go, no, we are not going to do that. And they're going to say, okay, well, then, you know what? Let's compromise. Just make him the highest paid corner, and there you go. He's going to set the market, and it's done. I have a feeling that's how it's going to go down. Ken, however, or was it you, Ken, or was it Christian Arcan, who was saying yesterday that...
We're both skeptical.
They are skeptical of that happening and believe that he would be worth getting picks and making a trade if that was indeed what he was pushing for.
So I would love that. I think they should sign him. I just don't think they will. And I bet you they try to get him through one more year somehow, maybe some short money just to keep him happy. And then they'll try to trade him for a couple firsts after this
season. I could see that. To me is more realistic. I've gone. So I was, as of 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting there going, it'll be done by the end of the summer. I've totally changed on that. I have a feeling. And I'm like, no, the Patriots don't do these deals 2 years out in front of when you have to, and then they don't set the market. I just can't see them doing it. And here's the thing. I just don't see Christian Gonzalez showing up for work.
Yeah.
Without a new contract.
Exactly.
So what happens? Who blinks? I just think, and then you look at, don't forget, Devin Witherspoon is the other cornerback that is the same age, same years of service, looking for the same thing. He's showing up for OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Gonzalez is not. Both Devin Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez have the same agent. So it's not the agent telling Christian not to show up for work. Because obviously the agent will be telling that to Devin Witherspoon. But Devin Witherspoon is showing good faith and showing up. Christian Gonzalez might regret that. I don't know. I could see this not being as easy and as simple as you're saying, Rich. I totally changed my tune on that.
It's going to be scary if they don't make that happen. I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. It completely changes the outlook of what I think this team can be. I that scares me because I want to believe that they are all chips in, like, into the center of the table. Like, we've even talked to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, and he said the Patriots most likely aren't done. He believes that they might try to make a move for an edge rusher. Kayvon Thibodeau was a guy that was mentioned out there, and who was it, Sweat from Arizona?
Yeah.
Were two names that were thrown out. And if that's the case, that's exactly what you want. You want them to take this window where you're not paying your quarterback at a king's ransom already. You got him on a rookie deal. Go all in. Get this team right. Try to win a Super Bowl. You were right there. You had it right there, and your team's only gotten better since then. I just don't think if they blow it.
What if he's asking for $40 million a year?
He's not gonna get that. And he knows that. Like, put it this way,
he
is going to set the market.
The money sign.
Yes, he did. All right, I can't wait to play. Show you guys something. All right, we're not going anywhere. It's just 2 minutes. But let me just say this.
Oh no,
the Red Sox got some balls on them.
Oh,
boy. I'm looking at something right now that I am feeling weird feelings that I have not felt in a while looking at this. The Red Sox just put out something that is truly, man, you got some guts. You're putting it out there. We will get to that. We're not going anywhere. In 2 minutes, we'll get to it.